There are those who say that life is an illusion, and that reality is simply a figment of the imagination.
Look who the birds have brought us this week. Welcome, and congratulations for crossing the threshold of realities. There's much to share if you know the language of the birds. Welcome back to the God Box Cafe. You will be so delighted with our guest today. I'm actually bouncing in my chair, and I know her personally, and she is one of the individuals that I revere, not only as a friend, but as an ally and as a source of information that I can trust. That's a big deal from my standpoint. As a Scorpio, trust is not my go-tos. So the fact that I would trust this woman with the life of my son is where we're at here. So I cannot possibly sing her praises loud enough. She has a brick-and-mortar place. It is in Hamilton. If you live in Hamilton, you have no excuse not to visit. This is a mecca of magic. And I mean that in the best of all possible ways. She has dedicated her entire energy towards fostering that energy in the space. It is a sacred space. Get your butts to Obscura Bazaar on Ottawa Street in Hamilton. And Ariane, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today. So now that I have spewed on and on about what people can anticipate, let's get started with our conversation so they get a real understanding of where you're at. So all of us have been in one way, shape, or form traumatized by what has transpired over the last 3 years. But I look at that as a blessing in disguise. We're in a situation now where there is something falling apart. And from my standpoint, it needs to fall apart because transformation involves letting go of the old. But someone like yourself is offering a foundation, and it is, regardless of what your belief systems are, introducing magic into your life and into your space is, in my view, the way we get ourselves on the platform of transformation. And the way to accomplish that is through the building of community. So you can either focus on what's falling away, or you can focus on building something that is the foundation of a future, not just for us, but for generations forward. And this woman is a driving force towards achieving that. Now, for the sake of clarity, because when I use the word magic, it may mean something different than what other people's definition of magic is. So, Ariane, would you like to start off with that as a means by which to introduce yourself, the whole notion of what magic means in our lives right now?
Yeah, and thank you. I wish I could hug you. You give the best hugs. So yeah, I miss you. I miss seeing you and being in the same space as you. So magic to me is just what connects your soul and feeds your soul and brings you inquisitiveness and joy and peace. And I say to people all the time that my magic is not your magic. And the word magic is so loaded. I mean, as soon as you say the word magic, I think pictures of witches or pictures of Hocus Pocus, you know, or the, what's that other show?
Charmed.
Charmed. Yeah. Come into people's minds or weird Hollywood movies or things. And to me, I'm trying to break down those stereotypes of magic because to me, again, my magic is not your magic because I have my own experiences and traumas and life lessons and things, right? So we each approach it differently. And like I like to say to people, you know, your magic could be the music that you make. It could be soothing to other people or it could just be soothing to you. It could be the art that you do. It could be the dance that you do. You know, when people are mesmerized by performers or how many times do you read, oh my God, your song saved my life. Right? Like literally put me in a better place, took me out of my depression or whatever. Or you could be cooking. I mean, I know a lady who now lives in Scotland and she's magical with her cooking and she creates all these lovely dishes that have magical elements to them. And you can make bread that has cinnamon and all sorts of lovely elements in it that is going to be that you can eat that is going to bring you prosperity and make you feel better. So, I mean, magic is in everything you do, even I mean, I have a lot of customers that, believe it or not, that are actually Christian. And I say to them, prayer is magical. Chanting is magical. Breath work is magic. So there's so many ways to practice what fills your soul and what connects you to the earth and to this life and to just being and existing less painfully and less harmfully. And that's the magic that I'm trying to connect people with. So it's one of my hashtags, work your magic. And then for me, the other really important thing, and I have to apologize to all the solitary practitioners out there, but you're really missing something when you're not in some sort of community, even 4 or 5 times a year or once a month, just connecting with a magical people that think the same as you. They may not be practicing exactly what you think or what you do, but it's their perspectives and their experience. And you can learn so much being in community with like-minded people. So that's what we're trying to do here. At the end of every month, it's either Wednesday or Thursday, the last week of the month, we do a meetup. And it's not about the shop. It has nothing to do with the shop. We just sit around and we talk magic. And there's practitioners of all different ages, all different traditions. Some don't even have what you would call a tradition. It's just getting together in community and talking to other people who have a similar, we're all kind of starting from the same point that, you know, we're different degrees along that road, say, let's call it a road. Some of us are farther on there than others, but just talking about experiences. And I think people really learn a lot from that and can adapt that to what they practice, right? And we're not judging anybody. We're just trying to create a space where people can feel safe and feel in a community that's welcoming and wants to share with them. So that's kind of what we do.
It is what is so sorely needed, because I think part of what the biggest maladies of current modern society is that whole notion of, even if you're in an urban environment where people are jammed together like sardines, the isolation, that's the paradox. The level of isolation is staggering. And I see that in my practice as far as anxiety and depression. And it's not just the lockdown. That has been a long time thing. So anything that constitutes a group effort, not to mention the fact that, with all due respect, as you said, to people who fly solo, the energy of a group and what you can accomplish in a group setting, you cannot deny the potency of having that many more hearts and souls synchronizing their efforts towards a goal. And you can't replicate that as one person. So I strongly encourage. And the other point is, especially when it comes to younger folks, I'm old enough to know someone who would teach on a chalkboard. So before computers existed, the interaction and exchange of information was to some degree one thing where you would, by way of demonstration or by word of mouth, convey information. Whereas now so many people are Googling like that is your magic wand that's going to give you an accurate answer, when in actual fact, I would challenge that, making what you said all the more important. If the information comes from someone I trust who has been at this, whatever it is they're doing, for over 20 years, that is information I can rely on, even if my experience and generation is different. But tried and true is tried and true. So if something you have done, and in many instances, by trial and error, it's like, well, I fucked up here and I screwed up here and this shit didn't work, but this did, then passing that on to somebody else is saving them a hell of a lot of time and a whole lot of experimentation that might lead them to disappointment.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, one of the basic things I say to people is, you know, there's this idea of a grimoire. It's just a book, but you got to write shit down. So when I'm making stuff, start with my ingredients that I think intuitively I need, or I'll do some, you know, research, and I have a ton of books and I have a ton of knowledge and a ton of people that I can reach out to, which is my community. But you got to write stuff down, and people are shocked by this. Get a binder, start writing your ingredients down, scratch out what doesn't work for you. If you're doing divination at the end of your assembly process, which is an important thing to do to make sure you do have everything correctly, all your ingredients, or even if you're only using one ingredient, you know, write it down. Talk about how you're feeling and how you're doing it. And I'm not really good. I don't really do like a lot of chanting and ritual. I like things really, really, really simple. So I do very small rituals for myself in my spiritual practice. I have other dogmatic faiths that I follow and they're incredibly ritualistic. But in my spiritual practice and what I do mostly at the shop, you know, I write it all down and people are like, you write stuff down? Gotta write it down. Because if you don't, you don't remember next time you want to do it or you want to share it with somebody, you don't remember what the hell you did. You don't remember what the results were. I always write down, did this work? What worked well? What didn't work? What do I need to change? Or is it good the way it is? Even just simple, simple things like that. Write your stuff down. People don't even think about that. I get a lot of people coming in going, so I saw this on TikTok. Can you help me do it? So, and then my first question to them is, what is your intention with this activity that you want to do? Call it an activity, call it a ritual, call it a spell, call it a focusing of intention, whatever it is. What do you want the outcome to look like? And almost 100% of the time, they're like, oh, I don't know. Well, then don't do it because you don't know what you want the outcome to be. So I think being in community and just having somebody, maybe one or two other people to talk to will help you not just do some ritual that somebody told you to do that has lavender and mint and incense and it's going to bring you peace, but you understand what peace looks like to you. You understand what abundance looks like to you. You know, I do an abundance workshop where we do a candle, really simple, simple candle working. And I'll say to people, what does abundance look like to you? And everybody will have a separate answer. For some people, abundance is money in the bank. For some people, abundance is all their family around them. For some people, abundance is just a steady job or a raise. But you know, you got to know where you want to be at the end of the ritual to be able to bring that energy into the ritual. People just think they can put things together and those things on their own are just going to make the magic, that it has nothing to do with them. But your intention, your desires, your energy that you focus on, this is so, so important. It's what makes the ritual. You can do a ritual with a candle. You need no herbs. You can do a ritual with a glass of water. You can do a ritual just standing out in the moon or the sun and talking to them. I like to try and take it back to the really simple, simple things. Don't mess it up too much. A lot of times people get so worried about all their ingredients and all the stuff that they forget about the intention and they forget about what they want the result to look like. And unless you can picture it, and I say this, you got to picture it, you got to dream it, you got to taste it, you got to hear it, you got to know where you're going to be at the end of this ritual, what your life or what this thing you want is going to look like before you can even start the ritual. Because you won't know what tools you need or don't need until you really know what you want at that moment. A lot of crazy stuff out there. But I do think that COVID, in a way, kind of helped people to be quiet and to realize that maybe they didn't have everything in their life that they needed. Because, you know, when you can't do shop therapy because the shops are all closed and you can't distract yourself with going to movies and doing things because you're stuck at home, all of a sudden you realize, and I'm saying this because a lot of my customers during COVID and after COVID have said this, a lot of these people realize that they didn't have any grounded foundation for their life. They're just busy, 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 busy. And they're not really stopping to take time to consider, well, first of all, for me, who are your ancestors? When we die, we're going back to them. We better know who the hell they are. We're going to a community of people that we don't know. So, hey, let's talk to our ancestors. Let's ask them for help. They've been through all of these crazy things that we're going through right now, and they can give you a lot of insight, like the potato famine, the Black Death, wars, and all sorts of things. They've already been through all that. So we can learn from them. So connecting with your ancestors, and it's much easier than people think it is. So that's one of the basic things that people realize that they, you know, or people would come in and be like, you know, my great grandmother used to read tea leaves or used to do this sort of stuff. I never really understood what it was, and I want to connect back with it. So I think in one way, COVID, as bad as it was helpful to some people because they realized there was a part of their life and their soul and their connection missing. Just trying to help people build community, meet people, make connections with people that can help them or give them a perspective or give them some information or just make them feel like they're not alone. I go to these pagan pub moots that a group in Hamilton called Silver Circle, they put on pub moots every 3 or 4 months. And there's a whole wide variety of people that show up, but it's just nice to be sitting in that energy that all of these people think this stuff is important, however they practice it, that this is important and this is part of their day-to-day life. Another thing about magic, that it has to be, in my mind, something that you practice and not practice, it has to become just part of your life, part of your being, part of like breathing and cooking and all the other things. In order to really embrace it, it has to become an everyday thing. Everybody practices differently though. So Dad, don't listen to me, but.
Oh, every word is gold. So I am listening to you and I'm hoping everyone in the audience is listening to you. So that being said, there's a few things I want to walk us towards direction-wise, but for the audience's benefit, as much as you feel comfortable sharing, you're speaking from a place of a person who is centered and who has experienced enough through the hard knocks school, how walking this path that made you understand that there was more to life than chasing a dollar and just putting your nose to the grindstone, that you had to expand beyond the five senses in order to really claim your sovereignty and show yourself what your true power is. What was your own personal path towards that?
So I grew up, so I'm adopted, not knowing my family. My adoptive mother was an alcoholic. My adoptive father was an enabler, sweet man. They were both really, really broken people. My adoptive father went through the Second World War. He's Dutch, as a teenager. So just, you know, trauma, things we didn't want to talk about at home, and very much trying to keep up with the Joneses and trying to chase the dollar. And, you know, we were probably not quite middle class. So there was always the strain to pay the bills and make money and focus on that and push on, you know, a lot of, I'm 56. So a lot of families at that time were very much about, you got to go to school, you got to go to university, you got to get a good job, blah, blah. So that was very consumer, capitalistic, traditional white family stuff, I guess, is a way to put it. I worked at the stock exchange for years and years and years, worked in the banking system, and it was just exhausting. But I managed during that. I mean, and I was raised Anglican. I think when I was 13, I was, yeah, this ain't for me anymore. Like, I understood the value of having a faith in something and having hope, but it wasn't working for me. And I mean, I like very simple rituals, so the whole hoopla was just not my thing. I was really fortunate enough, after I left the congregation I was with, I just started researching everything. Hinduism, Buddhism, Baha'i, Judaism, all the African traditional religions, Central American stuff, Mayan. Like, I just read everything I could get my hands on because there was no Google at the time. And it just opened my mind to so many things. And then I met somebody who had later become my mentor, my godfather, my padrino, we call him, in very, like I said, very dogmatic African traditional religions. I was initiated in both of those, but I learned also on this, with that spiritism, we do Misa Blanca, Puerto Rican style Misa Blanca, which is like a seance, for lack of a better word, but connecting with spirit, connecting with ancestors. And believe me, as an adopted person who doesn't really know all their ancestors, it was a struggle, right? But it just made me feel whole. I was lucky enough to meet this person and they had a community that I could connect with. And I just kind of found my home, not kind of, I for sure, 100%. As soon as I met this person, that was it. Things just clicked. Everything that I'd been searching for. And I think it was 19 or something when I met him. Everything that I'd been reading, everything that I'd been searching for just sort of fell into place. And from there, so I mean, I practiced probably five different things. Two African traditional things. I practice spiritism. I practice mediumship. I don't want to really use this word, this term sort of hoodoo, but maybe wise woman, herbal, like spiritual thing that I do. I don't know what to call it really, but it's the really what I do. That's the basis of everything I really do in the shop, is just connecting things together. So, I mean, it was a super crazy upbringing, but I think out of all of that, I just found peace in the practice that I could incorporate into my everyday life and have faith that there's hope, that there are ways to change the outcome of things, that there are ways to address my ancestors who can help, and just honor them, even if I'm not asking for the help, just honor them because they're the foundation. I say they're the foundation upon which I can thrive. They built all this for me. you know, I'm French Canadian. So they came over in the 1600s and stayed. So I found, I just, after reading and doing all sorts of research and all sorts of questioning, the universe sort of sent me these people that could help me. And I guess that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to create a space where if I can't help, I maybe know somebody who can. And I give out people's websites and I've given out your name a ton of times. If you're interested in astrology stuff that I really am not good at, you know, my ego is well back. Right. If I find somebody that needs something and I know somebody that can help them, I'm happy to give them that information because I shouldn't be standing in anybody's way. I should be freely helping people connect with other people in the areas that they're interested in. That's really, you know, work your magic and create community. Those are the things that are really the two pillars, I guess, of what I'm doing. And the shop is a small portion of that. Takes up a lot of time, but it's a small portion of it. So did that answer your question?
Oh, yes. This is why I love you. So where I want to steer the ship now, not that what you shared was an easy thing to talk about, but I think to some degree, and tell me if you share this opinion, what we're suffering from where our current society is concerned, to a large degree, in my view, is a consequence of two things. A, we have no rites of passage. The moment that you start bleeding, it's like, here's your tampon. That's the extent of it. Wow. Okay. And you wonder why you have these levels of distress on the part of young people and not being in a position where these transitions are acknowledged, and the fact that you are an elder should be celebrated because you are now wearing the cloak of wisdom and should be consulted as a consequence because you've lived long enough to be able to give advice that has value. And the circle in particular, as Caucasian women, because there was a campaign to take the divine feminine and repress her in every way, shape, and form to disempower people who would then give their power away to a third party, whatever that might be. We lost a lot of wisdom. And that is what broke the circle. And it still to this day is a serious dilemma, which I would attribute a lot of mental health issues to. You used to have a community where children were looked after by their grandparents. And that information was directly shared. Much like yourself, although I didn't have that level of trauma, I was brought here when I was 2 years old and my ancestors were elsewhere. So the idea of connecting to them was very difficult because I had no point of reference in a country that didn't have any lineage connected to, we were first generation immigrants. Escaping what was, in my parents' view, a tyrannical political system that was spreading through Europe. But to some degree, I felt that loss, apart from the fact that my grandmother taught me plant wisdom. And so at her hands, I was able to learn things, which otherwise perhaps my only access would have been through a book or through my own stumbling even before the internet existed, but now so many people are so dependent on the technology that the whole idea of doing something like putting together a soup that is based on the nourishing components that you can forage for if you know what to look for. And then you throw 3 hours worth of love in that concoction and then offer it up to the family. That's a win. But if you don't have access to that, it makes the joy of living considerably more challenging. So what do you think now? I'm seeing a resurgence and this whole move towards this traditional wise woman system. What would you attribute this shift towards that rise in the divine feminine finding her place in our lives again, compared to Mists of Avalon, where you had the goddess dying rapidly?
I think feminism has definitely been a push for a lot of women, but I think our ability to, in young girls, what I'm seeing is their desire to have some control over their life, because there's so many negative things that go on the internet and cyberbullying, sexting, And I think they're just trying to reclaim their power over the fact that the internet can go viral and anybody anywhere in the world can make a comment that's an asshole comment on your post. And they're just trying to find, I think, reality, and they're just kind of testing the waters of who they are, which is what you're supposed to be doing when you're young. And I think they do want community, but I think more than that, they want to know who they are. They've grown up maybe with all these movies like Hocus Pocus and Charmed and American Horror Story, Coven, and all these things. And they're fascinating because the movies make them look, magic is easy and magic is can protect you and magic, it can seek revenge. I get a lot of people coming in looking for revenge, and I'm trying to turn that around and say, don't waste the energy. Be happy you dodged that bullet and move your life forward. They're just looking for some sort of control or some sort of peace. And I think with older women, 30s, 40s, 50s, they've been through the rat race a little bit, or they're in the middle of the rat race, and they just realize it's not as fulfilling. And they just want to, I think most people just want to find their power, whatever that is, or connect to something. Because not only COVID, but I mean, how many times have you seen, and I see it quite often, three or four people standing all together in a circle outside a coffee shop and all staring at their phones, not even talking to each other. And they might actually be texting each other in that circle, but they're not speaking, right? There's no communication other than texting or sending memes or whatever. I do it. I think everybody just does it. I try and mindfully stay off my phone. If I need my kids and I'm in the kitchen, I'll text them. I won't yell up the stairs like I used to do. We used to call it the intercom system in our house. We just yell up the stairs. I think people are just looking for connection. And I think young people never experienced it the way we did, where when you went out for recess or you went for your lunch break or you went to a mall, you actually talked to people and you looked at people. You didn't just stare at your phone. And I don't want to blame technology for everything, but I definitely think people are looking for connection. People are looking for their own power, really their own power, and where they fit in, because they see this wide world through technology. Yeah, they're just trying to figure out where they fit in. And I don't think we ever stop trying to figure that out. Like I said, I'm in my 50s and I'm still trying to figure that out. What does my life look like now? And I think as we get older, we give less crap about things and we're more willing to experiment too. We don't care what people think. We've lived through our 30s and 40s, realized that all of that judgment that we took on, all of that inner talk about we're not good enough or whatever, was all crap. That was other people's expectations of us. And I think we just have no more craps to give. And we just want to figure out who we are and how, especially I meet a lot of women going through menopause or perimenopause, and their bodies are so out of control that they want to figure out how they can, in their mind at least, have some sort of control, and not in a control way, but just make some sense out of things. And I definitely agree with you. I mean, when we start menstruating, I think the next thing that happens is your parents start worrying you're going to get pregnant. There's no like, yay, she's reached this point in her life and this is what's happening and it's beautiful. And we have fecundity, we have abundance, we have all these beautiful things, but oh God, she's going to get pregnant. Oh, we have to watch all the boys that are around her, or oh God, blah, blah, blah. You know, that becomes this level of fear and terror and anxiety for everybody. And instead of this beautiful moment where we can enjoy it and where we can say, okay, now let's start teaching you traditional things. Let's start teaching you herbs that'll help you with this. Herbs that'll help calm your tummy cramps down, or like just even little things. Not even things like, okay, now let's take on a bigger role in the family as we would have generations ago. I think those rites of passage that we don't have any longer, we really need those. So if we can come together and create a community where we celebrate birthdays, we celebrate events, we celebrate things, everybody, in my opinion, deserves to live in peace and in safety. And regardless of all the events that are happening in these last few days in the world, everybody deserves to live in peace and safety. And I think a community of like-minded people can help you find some of that. And maybe we create rituals, maybe we create, I don't know, but I know a lady who's in the Cabot tradition. And when she turned a certain age, they did a croning ritual for her to acknowledge that she has wisdom and she is an elder. And it just sounded like a beautiful ritual or a beautiful concept. I don't know what the ritual was. They didn't tell me, but it just sounded like a beautiful concept to honor the fact that we can't have kids anymore. And that's okay. Not that not focusing our bodies are deteriorating and we got hot sweats and cold flashes and all this crap. None of us can sleep and we're all losing our minds because we can't remember anything. It was this beautiful ritual of you're an elder and you've lived this long and you have knowledge that's worthy and you're still a part of the community. You're not getting cast aside for all the nubile young women. You know, it just sounded beautiful.
Well, it's most assuredly a matter of reawakening these things and getting people reacquainted with it across the generations in order to rebuild that circle. And much of that before women were burnt as witches was in the hands of women. So that wisdom of the goddess that brought babies into the world and ushered souls out when they were breathing their last breath was definitely within the goddess domain. But in the interim, what would you, now that you're on the other side of the question, although, as you said, we're always growing, so school's never over. But with the amount of experience you have, what would you recommend, say, someone who is reaching a point where they're seeking beyond the boundaries that have been limiting us by way of culture, whatever the case may be? What advice would you give them while they're just on the process of emerging to choose a path?
So I often say to people, what sparks your imagination? What makes you go, what? And want to dig deeper into something? What fascinates you? What makes you feel at peace? And if you don't know what those things are, then you need to, I'm super bossy when I speak, you need to, but I don't mean you need to, you do whatever you want. I'm not the boss of anybody, but I say to them, spend time, maybe go for a Reiki session and figure out what energy movement looks like, or go to a breath session, you know, go to a yoga session that like a proper yoga session that has breath work and mantras and not just poses, and experience maybe making herbal teas or experience going to some music event where it's all very, not tantric music, but, you know, very intense, and maybe there's no vocalist, but there's like EDM. Or experience things. What makes you go, because there's so many things. It's so big. When I get young people that come in the shop, or just new people that, you know, new to the idea of magic, come in the shop, they're like, oh my God, I want to do crystals. I want to do herbs. I want to do incense. I want to do candle magic and blah, 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 blah. They want to do everything. And I'm just like, pick one or two things and just check them out. And I mean, there are really good books out there by people who are very qualified, way more qualified than me, but also connect with other people. If you want to do candle magic, maybe learn how to make candles, or just learn different herbs you can use, or learn about the earth, learn about air and fire and water and what those elements mean. And I don't know, it just depends. Cause I'll say to them, so are you like, what do you like to do? And from that answer, so if you like cooking, maybe herbs are for you, or maybe some sort of resin concoctions will help you to cleanse energy in your house. If you like to cook, resins are fantastic because you can, on charcoal, you can mix the resins like a recipe. You can put herbs with them. You can put different things with them and actually make your own recipe that makes your house feel good. So it's really very individual, which is super frustrating for the person because they're like, I'm never going to meet anybody that's going to do this exact same thing as me. But then I say to them, but there are people out there. And here are some examples of people that do this that you can reach out to and take some workshops. Or, you know, we're really lucky because we were discussing this at the last Maven meetup, the pros and cons of magic being popular.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So, I mean, there's lots of cons. We know that, like the TikTok video that wanted to make me scream, that was about, hey, ladies, if you want to have abundance in your life, dump this cup of cinnamon powder in a hot bath and soak in it for half an hour. The only person going to get rich from that is your OBGYN. Because the burn is going to, like, that's just a dumb thing to do. If you want to sit in a bath with cinnamon, you put a couple sticks of cinnamon in the bath. You don't put a cup of cinnamon powder. My rant, sorry. There are lots of different things that you can research, that you can look into, that you can integrate into what you think kind of looks cool for you. I have a guy that comes to me for readings, and he's an artist, visual artist. He creates things, And really, that's his magic. And he incorporates all these sigils and all these things into his artwork. And for him, that's where the magic is. So it can be this really broad spectrum of things, but up to you, what sparks joy in you? What makes you want to dig deeper? What makes you want to learn something? What gets your brain going? What gets your juices flowing? And that's where you need to start looking and sort of figure out how you can work it from there.
It is fundamental because most people don't even know what joy looks like. They've completely lost sight of it. And the whole conditioning into constantly fretting over the possibility of something bad happening instead of focusing that energy on what it is that you want. But if you don't know what you want, then how are you going to manifest it? So everything you've said is 1,000% spot on accurate. And we have a real, see, I'm in Toronto. And what I found sad in one way, and it could very well be because people are getting everything online now, but the brick and mortar thing matters to me. You can order a lot of things online, but the interaction between you and the person who is the proprietor, you cannot replace that ever, in my view. And if you are in a position where you're having a life-altering moment, or you don't have necessarily be in crisis, but just to talk to someone who has a neutral but compassionate centered approach where they can, because they don't have a vested interest in the outcome, but they can point you in a direction where right now you can't see because you're in it. So the drama and the emotional spectrum that you're running through, walk into Ariane's shop and immediately you're going to feel calm. Even if your ass is on fire, you're going to be calm because Ariane's going to walk and go, here's your cup of water. And then you can sit down over here and let's have a chat. So you're never going to find that online. Never. And it is that whole interaction, which is, again, all the more reason why coordinating efforts for everybody who may find themselves in a dilemma is what the purpose of community is. And it doesn't have to be metaphysical, but what I have found in Toronto, and maybe you can shed some light on this, Ariane, but almost 90% of all the metaphysical shops closed. And this is way before COVID. They just shut down. And I thought to myself, is this a reflection of the fact that people are so fixated on the material that they have forgotten that there is something mystical out there? I don't know if it's just Toronto specific necessarily. And it was so hard to come by where even if it came down to, okay, well, I can always go to Herbie's Herbs for my plants. But if I wanted something beyond that, where am I going to get that? And with whom? And in Toronto, the choices were diminished from a considerable number of options to nearly none. I think the pendulum is swinging in the opposite direction now. But just as you said, in terms of pros and cons, a lot of people only have a peripheral knowledge, and that can be a very dangerous thing. And so if they're the ones you're asking for advice from, and the only thing that they have done is a couple of things that they found on a website somewhere, then that can lead to a lot of problems, which could have been avoided if you found the right person to give you that level of instruction. So once again, I have to sing your praises for providing a safe space where that kind of interaction is possible. But people, what I'm finding is levels of discernment are considerably diminished. Like, people don't have enough energy invested in their own intuition where they can come close to a person and go, this vibe is just not where it's at. And that's where people get led into this whole notion of satanic, because that's what they walk in thinking or assuming, right? And so then you're already in a position where someone is judging you based on something that they didn't conclude apart from merely being told by someone else, whether it's a family member or whether it's society within the community that you were raised in. But this is the kind of thing that I want to caution people from where their explorations are concerned, if you start approaching things on the basis of, well, tarot cards are the work of the devil, when in actual fact, quite frankly, it's encrypted wisdom as a consequence of the Cathars being a genocide was committed on the part of all of those people who were practicing these mystical teachings being eliminated by the church. And we're talking mass executions, blatant. When the Pope says, kill them all, women and children, let God sort them out, then that gives you an understanding of what posture was being taken. So what do you do if someone comes in and has that type of antagonistic approach and is already picking a fight before you even get a chance to put in a word edgewise?
Well, I try and be loving and compassionate because they're coming from a place just not knowing. So depending on who it is, if it's a young person, I kind of challenge them on things. I did have somebody, I mean, I have people come in all the time that are like, oh, whatever. I have other stores in Hamilton calling me a satanic voodoo shop, which doesn't even exist. So those things don't work together. But I just try and challenge gently in some cases and not so gently in others. I'm going to meet them with what their energy is. I get asked all the time, do you really believe in this stuff? So, I mean, first off, closure of the of a lot of the shops in Toronto and a number of shops here before, like I've been here for 5 years on Ottawa Street. It's a grind running a metaphysical shop. You're a target. I mean, I have the word occult on my sign outside. So you become a target, which is hard in itself. It's hard to get your message across. It's hard to get out there that you're kind and compassionate and trustable and you have this knowledge, but you're not pushing that knowledge on people. You're just trying to help. There used to be a place on the Danforth, in the east end of the Danforth, called Formula One. I don't know if you remember Formula One, but oh my God, I love that place. Those people were so kind and they were so generous. And then I spent a lot of time in New York, in the Botanicas in New York, so the spiritual shops in New York. And those people were so kind and generous. And I mean, there was a fair bit of eye rolling for this young white chick that walked in wanting whatever supply, because most of them were Spanish speaking people. Most of them are older, but they were kind and compassionate with me and they helped me out because they saw that I was sincere. That message is hard to get out, that I'm not trying to sell my magic and I'm not one kind of magic. People assume I'm Wiccan and I'm absolutely not Wiccan. I don't practice that at all. Not that that's a bad thing to practice. It's great. If it works for you, that's great, but it's not what I do. So people assume that I'm Wiccan and that my shop is going to be Wiccan, and it's not. I'm trying to cover all the bases here, which makes it really hard and kind of makes me psycho sometimes. But so that's part of the problem, is the message can't get out, or maybe you don't have enough magical community at the time. But when people do come to the shop and do walk in, I'm not pushing one type or another type of magic on them. I just want them to kind of play and experiment and think about stuff. So when people walk in, I had somebody walk in a couple weeks ago going, oh my God, it feels so evil in here. And I'm just like, really? I just cleansed it. I don't know. But anyways, I'm like, oh, so what feels evil to you? They don't even expect that I'm going to say anything to them, that they can just drop this comment and not be questioned about it. And I'm just like, so what feels evil? What's going on? Oh, well, there's no pictures of Jesus here. Yeah, that's not what the shop's about. If you want a shop where you can find biblical stuff, things, Jesus statues, I know one up the mountain. I'm happy to recommend it to you. And I said, but an occult shop deals with the non-Abrahamic traditions. And he didn't even know what I meant by Abrahamic tradition. And I said, so coming to an occult shop looking for a Jesus statue is a bit like going to a clothing store looking for records. So you aren't going to find it. You just aren't going to find it. And so anyways, we started having this conversation. And he goes, well, you don't believe in Jesus? And I'm like, it's not that I don't believe in Jesus. It's just that it doesn't matter when I'm here. And I said, you can pray. You can do all. So we have conversations. And I think that's people coming in going, oh my God, am I going to get, next time I walk into a church, I'm going to get struck by lightning because I've been in an occult shop. And just, there's a lot of nonsense, but these are stereotypes. And the word magic and the word occult and the word pagan and all these words are demonic, satanic. All of these words are used to control us. And I'm trying to break that. I want people to think outside the box. I want people to be figuring out what works in their life. There is a fair amount of bullshittery, for lack of a better word, but just being kind and compassionate and gently challenging their beliefs and I think the important thing for me is to understand history so that I can take people through the process, the many, many, many reasons why there was the burning times, the many reasons that hoodoo people use psalms in their magic, or why connecting to your ancestors is not a satanic ritual. Just being able to not confront, that's not the right word, but challenge, gently challenge them on their belief system and maybe get them to break down those barriers a bit. But yeah, I get there's lots. If I got a dollar for every time somebody said, do you really believe in this stuff? I could have retired 2 years ago.
I'm really thankful you haven't, as I'm sure the rest of the community is. And here is, and this is how we're going to wind up our beautiful conversation. I am going to give you proof that Ariane walks her talk, because when I walk into her shop, I see products from artisans around the world that she has lovingly procured for the benefits of people thousands of miles away. Do you want to just speak to the fact that there's a, in terms of what's available where your inventory is concerned, so much of that is handcrafted from various places where you are showing support for all of these artisans in a completely direct fashion?
Thank you. First off, I try and buy as much local Canadian stuff as possible. I mean, we have Madame Phoenix, we have Grey Hedge, we have Soap Scum, we have, like, there's a ton of local stuff. Books and decks, it's impossible to source really locally. Indie books are so expensive, indie decks are so expensive. And I do what I can. There's a local lady that created a tarot deck and we have it in the shop for sure. She's down in Grimsby. So of course I'm going to have that one. But yeah, when we travel, and unfortunately over the last bunch of years, I haven't been able to, but when we do travel, India, like South Asia, Central America, I go straight to the artisans' homes. We seek out people who are literally making things by hand in their homes. And I always want to buy directly. A lot of our frankincense and myrrh, I'm negotiating with, I don't know if you know Dan from Apothecary's Garden, to bring some of his beautiful resins and stuff in. And he literally goes to Kenya, goes to Somalia, goes to Ethiopia, and walks out of these little villages into the countryside and buys directly from a lot of the suppliers. So that, to me, if your products are well-intentioned and they come from happy people, they benefit directly the people who create them. You know, women's collectives that do art and make bags and do things, or small farms that create these herbs, that grow these herbs and you can buy them, or indigenous people. All my sage is indigenously sourced. If your products are good, I think your magic will be good, right? If they come from, if it starts from a place of love and compassion and community, then I hope that's what it brings to your magic. So we're trying to source as much as possible. I'm directly in contact and in relation to those people. That's why I don't have a lot of Day of the Dead stuff in the shop right now for Halloween, because I haven't been down back to Oaxaca in Mexico for like 3 or 4 years now. I'd love to go. It's just really hard coordinating it. But yeah, everything in here, even the suppliers I buy my crystals from, I'm going to those suppliers directly. They're bringing them up from the mines. One of my suppliers supports a whole community in India. So I'm trying to find people, even in a not great business, you know, mining is, I'm still trying to find people that have some integrity and have some compassion and they have the joy of what they're doing. And they love what they do as a supplier or a wholesaler. And that joy comes through in their products and comes through in my comfort with them and how they're going to be completely honest with me. You know, they're not selling fake stuff. If they don't have something that I'm looking for, they're not going to try and sell me something fake, right? They're going to be like, nah, we didn't get any of that. Don't even bother. Or yeah, I'm just trying to bring some integrity into the shop. I want to live in a place of integrity and a place of compassion and love and hope and just start off with good things so that I can offer good things to people they can do good magic with. Black or white, right hand, left hand, whatever you want to call it, they still have good stuff to start with. So, and you have to come. I miss you.
I can't think of ending on a more appropriate note, and you can bet I'll be there very, very soon when time allows. I will make the time. I will absolutely make the time because I'm going through a serious state of withdrawal right now. So, can you tell the audience how they might get in touch with you for an opportunity to, if not meet you in person, then see what you've got where your website's concerned?
Sure. So my store is called Obscura Bazaar. OBSKURAHBAZAAR. I had to take a crazy spelling. It was the only one left. I'm at 116 Ottawa Street North in Hamilton, so almost in the East End. I do live sales on Thursday nights around 7 o'clock on Instagram, so you can connect directly that way if you want. I'm open Wednesday to Sunday. All my hours are posted on the website. Everything is the same name: Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, website. Everything is all obscurebazaar.com or just that on all the socials. I do consultations outside of work hours. I do custom spells and rituals for people. We do tarot. And then during the day, I have lovely, lovely facilitators come in and do Reiki, sound healing, readings, all sorts of different things. And all of that is posted mostly on Instagram, but you can look at it on the website as well. But Instagram is really where I like to post everything right now. So yeah. And thank you for the opportunity. I really do appreciate it. It's been lovely.
Always a joy. And for those of you who don't know where joy is, go to Obscura Bazaar. You'll get a good dose of it. So in the meantime, be well, my friend. I will see you soon in person. And thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule to allow us the opportunity to get acquainted with the magic that you live and breathe.
Oh, thank you so much.
Welcome to the Year of the Wood Dragon, one and all. I thought this was an appropriate theme by which to open 2024 and be prepared for a multitude of other such fascinating interviews in that space where alternative media meets the liminal. I am also working on a radio play, episodic in nature, on the adventure of Tarot Major Arcana. So you'll have that to look forward to if you are a subscriber. In the meantime, I want to thank producer Jeannie and the sponsors for this podcast for their support. It is much appreciated. Until we meet again next month, blessed be.